Today's edition of the Daily Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is full spectrum CBD? Full spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than full spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, full spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Oh, baby, it is Thursday. Holy cow, it's Thursday already. Holy Frank Tanana. It is the 21st day of May 2020. Right before a long week, it feels weird to say, oh, I got a long holiday weekend coming up. Yeah, because I'm not sure anybody really needs a day off. Although I'm taking a day off because I need a day off. I don't know that anybody else really needs a day off. Yeah, that's right. Monday's show, I'm going to make it probably long and replay that interview with the guy in China. And then, I don't know, we'll see what else. I've got a big interview coming up for Friday, for tomorrow, with whom you're just going to have to tune in to find out, the Friday interview edition. There'll be video of it too, which means I'm going to have to shower. So, there you go. Maybe this guy won't comment on my fake background like Brian Kilmeade did. It's either that or a cat tree, man. Anyway, I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. Tons of stuff to get to. Always something going on. Never a dull moment, even when you want one. We have the governor of Florida literally pimp-slapping the media in a beautiful moment. There's a lot of media smacking going on because Lord knows they deserve it. They're just horrible people, and I mean that in the nicest possible way. So we're going to get to all of that and more and a bunch of other stuff, too. You're just going to have to stick around to find out what it is. You can email me, Derek@dailycaller.com, if you so choose. I appreciate it. And we'll do my best to respond to each and every one of them. And that's it. Let's talk about CBD oil from ancientlifeoil.com. I'm looking at it. I am almost out of my Cinnamint, but I've got more. I have a reserve. That's the way you do it. Just a little bit under the tongue, and it helps with pain. It helps with anxiety. It helps with eye strain, headaches. Helps you relax. It really is an amazing thing, but don't take my word for it. Break open your interweb browser. Go to whatever search engine you so desire and search what the CBD oil claims are, and then you'll read them, and you'll go, that can't be true. But it is true. Talk to some friends. Talk to some family members. I bet you know people who are taking it. And see what they say. Then when you decide to give it a try, you can try some fly-by-night place that's probably just vegetable oil. Who knows? Or you can get the best 100% organic CBD oil. There's no THC. You're not going to get high off of it. You're not going to fail a company drug test. Don't worry about that. Go to ancientlifeoil.com. They're having great specials. They're having great deals. They have all kinds of products. If you don't want to try the oil, you can get the ointment. And at checkout, enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, click apply, and boom, you get free fast shipping. You can't beat that deal. AncientLifeOil.com, all one word, promo code Derek at checkout, and you make great savings, and you make a great life choice. Okay, let's talk a little bit about some of the numbers really quickly, and I know your eyes just glazed over going, oh, Jesus, we got to talk about numbers. That's like the worst thing to talk about. But trust me, I could think of much worse things to talk about, things that would have you losing sleep and be grossed out. But I'm not going to do that. I did used to have fun as a kid trying to gross people out. I was pretty good at it. Anyway, let's just look at some of the data, because the numbers, the stories, I say this all the time, and I only say it all the time because it's true. And it's a testament to the power of the media. I wrote a book about how the media manipulates people and how effectively they do it. And I still fall prey to it sometimes. Anybody can fall prey to it. Being aware of it doesn't mean it doesn't work. And that's what's amazing about it and nefarious about media manipulation. So we, by the way, my book, you should get it if you haven't gotten it already. But the numbers and the facts, those are generally soothing things. When you just look at them outside of the hype and the freak out and the hysteria and the grab for ratings and clicks and all of that stuff in the media. So if you just look at the facts, you can feel okay. Now, it's not to say that coronavirus is fake, that COVID-19 is some big Bill Gates hoax. There's some video circulating on Facebook. A whole bunch of people sent it to me. I mean, you got to see this video. Oh, it's Bill Gates back in 2005 or 6 or whatever, talking to the CIA about a pandemic that shuts everything down. And it's not Bill Gates. You can find a much better version of the video. It's clearly not Bill Gates. It kind of sounds vaguely like him. But I don't think Bill Gates was running around briefing the CIA on anything back in ever. But anyway, it's amazing how quickly some things that are false can spread, including data, including information. And one of the things that you need to keep in mind is the truth and how the truth is calculated. If you control how the truth is calculated, you control the garbage in, you can control the garbage out. So just as an example, let's take a look at Pennsylvania. Now, you would think by the media coverage that coronavirus is an equal opportunity killer. It's not. That's not to say it won't kill anybody at any age, because it can. But when you look at it from a statistical standpoint, a clearer picture could, hopefully will, give you more peace of mind, unless you happen to be of a certain age. And then it should give you inspiration to modify perhaps how you do things. You don't have to modify your behavior, but how you do things can be. So let's just look at the state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has more coronavirus deaths from people who are over the age of 100 than are under the age of 45. Let me repeat that because it sounds shocking. Because, you know, there are fewer people. There aren't that many people over 100 in the grand scheme of things. They have more deaths of people who are older than 100 than under the age of 45. Let's look at the statistics from the health department in the state to my immediate north. 100 years old, deaths, number of deaths, 70. I didn't know 70 people in the state lived over 100, but then again, there are millions of people. Again, it's hard to wrap your mind around the size of things. But 70 people over 100 have died for and deaths attributed to coronavirus. Under the age of 45, well, between the ages of 40 and 44, there are 21 deaths. So there's under 45. Then you go down 39 to 35, five more deaths. So we're at 26. And age 30 to 34, seven deaths. We're at 33 deaths, I think. Yeah. And then there's none lower than that. That means, according to the state of Pennsylvania, nobody aged 29 or less has died of coronavirus. It's great news. But when you add them together, 21, 7, 28, plus 5 is 33. 33 deaths of people under the age of 45. People over the age of 100, 70. Now, you don't want anybody to die, obviously. It's just a simple, sad fact of life. You can't escape it. Not Ted Williams or Walt Disney can escape death, can cheat it, whatever. There's no way around it, no matter what you put your brain on. But more than that, we can go a little bit further with these numbers. There are more deaths over the age of 95 than under the age of 60. I'm not going to do the math. I'm not going to give you all those numbers. But it is pretty significant when you look at it, because over the age of 95, there are, from 95 to 99, there are 341 deaths, plus the 100 and above is another 70 deaths. So you're looking at 431 deaths, right? Is that right? No, that's not right. 411 deaths. That's right. 411 deaths of people over the age of 95. That means under the age of 60, there are less than that. Then, to put a fine point on it, again, without doing all the math, but you can see it, there are more deaths of people over the age of 85 than under the age of 80. Now you begin to see how weighted this is toward the elderly and why people over a certain age, and I would say, you know, even over the age of 70, have to take special precautions. Not seal yourself hermetically in your house and, you know, sit there with a shotgun on the porch making sure nobody ever comes up to your house, but to be cautious, to make sure you wash your hands regularly, you wear a mask. Everybody should wash their hands regularly. There's nothing wrong with that. And if something good comes out of this, it will be in part that hopefully next flu season and flu seasons for the foreseeable future will be lessened because people will be aware of washing their hands and the importance of not touching your face unless you just washed your hands or you've just been inside or whatever. But those numbers, those facts are incredible. And you would never know them from the mainstream media. How many stories have you seen about, he was 32 years old and minding his own business. He thought he was invincible from COVID-19, but then he got sick. And the next thing you knew, he was dead. You see those stories all the time. Those are literally a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the number of deaths related to this. But they serve a couple of purposes when it comes to manipulation. And make no mistake about it, the media is interested in manipulating you much more so than they're interested in informing you. If you inform somebody, they can go about their business. They can might not come back. If you are manipulating them, you can scare the living shit out of them. And then they'll go, oh my God, I've got to check in tomorrow to find out how else I'm going to die or what else is coming down the pike. I need to know the latest. I need to know which foods are sealed and safe and what I have to do. You can scare the shit out of people and suddenly they keep coming back for more. It's a weird sort of thing about humanity. You see it all the time in these local newscasts, local news, local television news. Is terrible. It's just absolutely terrible. They're dumb. They're people who want to be on the networks or on cable. They want more. Nobody wants to be. I'm the reporter from Poughkeepsie. Like, yeah, sorry about that. My apologies, Des Moines reporter. But they'll do things like coming up next Tuesday. There's something in your kitchen that is likely going to kill you. And it's in everybody's kitchen. And if you mishandle it, you do one thing wrong, more people die from this than anything else. And it's right around the corner in your house. Be careful. Tune in Tuesday at 11. And so a whole bunch of people, they run the promos for like a week going, oh my God, what is it? And then they're ready to burn down their whole kitchen. What is this in here that's going to try to kill me? I must destroy it. And then you tune in and you watch, and it's not the first story. It's not the second story. It's usually after a break, maybe two breaks. They tease it a couple of times. And you're coming up. We're going to find out what's trying to kill you. And you watch it. That was the whole purpose of it. Then it turns out to be a knife or something. You know, if you carry a knife in the kitchen and you fall and it happens to hit you right dead square in the heart, you will die. So be careful and carry knives properly. And you're sitting there and you're going, what the fuck? What did I just watch? Why did I? That's it? Or things like, make sure you don't eat raw chicken, because that'll kill you. Like, yeah, no shit, Dick Tracy. What else you got? Like, that, they got nothing else. They just used emotion and fear to manipulate your ass to watch and watch intently and watch for a long time, because you didn't want to miss that story. So here's a little bit of a pro tip, by the way. If it really is like there's something that's going to kill you, they ain't going to wait a few days to tell you about it. If it's something that's new and just discovered, they're also not going to wait until halfway, right after sports. We're going to get to, no, if it's news, they will report it quickly. If it is manipulation, they will keep you around for it. So if it's that day, that's real. If it's next week, it's not so real. But you won't hear these numbers, these facts about the death rates on the mainstream media, because a lot of people, quite frankly, sad as it is to say, they don't have grandparents, they don't have elderly parents, or they're just self-involved dicks. They don't care. If you find out that this is wiping out people over the age of 90, you would feel bad for the people over the age of 90, but then part of your brain would go, well, most people don't actually live that long. You know, they don't get anywhere close to that. That's a pretty good run. And then people would think, I don't really want to live past the age of 90 anyway, unless I can take care of myself. And they don't run immediately to their computers to click on things. They don't watch videos. They don't tune into the nightly news. They're not interested in it. But if they say, this attractive young model had the world at her fingertips, and after her first topless photo shoot, she suddenly was stricken with COVID-19 and died, and you could be next, is the subtext. Then you tune in. Then parents tune in, because they think my kids could be next. And perverts tune in, because they go, I wonder how much they show of these topless photos she took right before she died. And things like that. So these numbers are wildly important. Wildly important. In Massachusetts, they have, as of this recording, 3,718 deaths of people aged 80 or more. 3,718. That constitutes 62.6% of their deaths. Just 2,200 deaths under 80. 2,200 deaths of people under 80. That's a huge, huge gap for the lion's share of the population, because again, people, not a lot of people, well, I guess a lot of people, but not most people, live past the age of 80. 880 deaths, by the way, of people under the age of 70. That is another huge, huge thing. Now, you can go state by state by state. This is a consistent pattern. It's not an absolute pattern. There have been some very young people who have died, sadly, from this. No question about it. But in the grand scheme of things, it's going to mess you up if you have pre-existing conditions or whatever, comorbidities, as they say. You need to take precautions. You can't go back to your, you know, days as an amateur doorknob licker or things like that. Be smart. But being locked at home isn't the answer. Being locked up isn't the answer. Making sure we take care of the vulnerable people is the answer. It's wildly important. But making sure that everybody else suffers through everything and everybody else stays locked down for eternity because they just give you total death numbers and don't go into the demographics of the age groups is a manipulation tool. You're going to tune back in tomorrow. If there's a possibility, if there's even a 10% possibility that you could die, my God, I've got to find out what the latest is. I got to know when it's safe, when it's safe. When, in fact, for a lot of people, most people, but not all people, certainly. I'm not saying this is, you know, go out and go crazy. But for most people, it already is safe. Now, you want to take precautions so you don't infect the people who are in the most dangerous demographic by any stretch of the imagination. We love our parents, love our grandparents. You don't want to see them get hurt. But hurting ourselves to make sure they don't get hurt is not a smart strategy. It's not an effective strategy. It's a dumb, self-destructive strategy, because the ramifications and the repercussions of this mess are going to ripple for a very, very long time. And when we look back on this, I've already said that it's going to be hard to get accurate data and an accurate accounting of what happened, what we did right and what we did wrong. But we will have the, whether the numbers are right, the pattern in the numbers and percentages of age are right. And we're going to look back at this and think we did this wrong. we could have done things very differently, because there are people who need to be protected, and we ended up trying to save everybody from everything. Again, an argument could be made, how many of those people over the age of 95 would have died anyway? And I think the logical conclusion would be some, probably quite a few, but maybe not all. But is that enough to justify all the collateral damage when we could have tried other, better, less destructive ways to avoid it? I don't know. I just found those numbers interesting because you don't hear them anywhere, and they should be screamed from the mountaintop, in my opinion. Speaking of something that should be screamed from the mountaintop, we have an update on Governor Swipe Right, the governor of New York, who has been fawned upon and drooled over by the media, who was voted New York's most eligible bachelor during the coronavirus outbreak. And there's an underwear company or clothing company or whatever the hell they are out in California that's putting his name on underpants for ladies, for all the ladies out there who get aroused by the direct responsibility for the death of thousands of senior citizens. You can buy the Cuomo underwear and a whole bunch of other things. He was asked yesterday, finally, it's amazing to me, it's 2 months after he gave the order, a week after he rescinded the order, he was asked, Governor Cuomo was, because, by the way, he'd appeared on his brother's TV show, I don't know how many times, half dozen times at least, during this time period, never once asked about the nursing home deaths by his brother, because, again, make family events really awkward. You know, hey, Governor, swipe right, wipe the blood off your hands, and pass me the corn, will you? Probably wouldn't go over too well at the family dinner table. So Andrew Cuomo was finally asked about his responsibility, if any. It wasn't an accusatory question, in regards to the 5,000 to 6,000 deaths in nursing homes. I think the state might have paused, shall we say, reporting those deaths. But those deaths are attributable directly to his order to that nursing homes must take in COVID-positive patients. And what do you think Andrew Cuomo did? He blamed President Trump, of course. This will send the Mika Brzezinskis of the world all a flutter. I hope they put down some plastic on their homemade set tomorrow morning before they play this clip, because Mika may well get dehydrated from just watching Andrew Cuomo blame President Trump for his biggest screw-up. His direct responsible screw up. And I'll explain why it's a direct responsible screw up in a second. But first, let's listen to Governor Swipe Right blame the President of the United States for his death toll.
Look, this is a political season. I get it. I have refrained from politics. I'm not going to get into the political back and forth. But anyone who wants to ask why did the state do that with COVID patients in nursing home, it's because the state followed President Trump's CDC guidance. So they should ask President Trump. I think that will stop the conversation.
Are you fudging the numbers? Because that's an accusation that you're facing, that you are changing the numbers to make.
Well, let's go back. Let's do one at a time.
Okay.
Your first point, why did the state do that? Because the state followed President Trump's CDC's guidance. Okay? That's that answer.
Mean old President Trump made me send in the 6 senior citizens into the nursing homes. I didn't want to do it. I protested most vociferously, silently, privately in over the phone with nobody else looking. You really believe that crap? When he was asked a month ago about it, he said he didn't know anything about the order. But now as I was only following orders. Well, that's awfully convenient. Well, here's a question. Here's a couple of questions for you, Governor. Governor of America. If you're following, you were following CDC guidelines, then why did you alter the order last week? The CDC guidelines didn't change, did they? Can you cite them? No, you can't. It's kind of weird how that I was only following orders. Progressives are very good at following orders, especially when it leads to people dying. But it's a lie. Because how can I say that it's a lie? Because Florida did the exact opposite. Remember the state of Florida, the nation's uvula down there dangling off the end of the country? They did the exact opposite. They expressly kept COVID-positive patients out of the nursing homes, removed them from the nursing homes, as a matter of fact. And that is why the numbers in Florida are so dramatically different than the numbers in New York. They did the exact opposite thing. Now, did Governor DeSantis violate the law, the Donald Trump's CDC directive? Or did he make the smart decision and is not scrambling desperately to cover his own ass to keep his gravy train of free and glowing media coverage rolling there? Andy, any comment on that? That, of course, wasn't asked. The questioner, and you can tell, it's a question that they have to ask. If it's a question that a liberal has to ask another liberal, that question will be asked weeks and weeks and weeks after it's too late to matter, after they've been able, they can say, well, this is an old story. It's the old Clinton playbook, except the Clintons ran their playbook against the media. Deny, 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 deny. 6 weeks later, admit, and then say, it's an old story. Why are you still talking about that? Now, the media was not involved in that. They were not upset by it, but they were not involved in that when the Clintons did it. Now they're involved in it. Why? How? They don't ask the question. They don't even, there's no deny, 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 deny. They both just sit. The Democrat and the Democrat media just kind of sit there twiddling their thumbs, playing footsies and swiping right on each other, probably all sleeping together. And then when enough time has passed that it's no longer as politically damaging as it otherwise would have been when it is, quote, an old story, they then get around to asking the question. Oh, hey, wait a second. Remember that thing that's been going on for 2 months? Let me ask you about that, Governor, for the first time. All right, Trump's fault, box checked, moving on. Old story, we've covered it. No need to revisit this topic ever again. Aside from the self-loathing that I would feel, it would have to be pretty good to be a Democrat, knowing that you can get away with crap like this and nobody says a damn thing about it. Until it's so late and it's a foregone conclusion and you've changed things. So you can say, look, we changed them. We've already implemented these changes. What more do you want me to do? And they're like, well, that's a very good point, Governor. Can I sniff your chair after you get up and walk away? Because that's all I really want is to do that. These people are nuts. But again, contrast it with what happened in Florida. There are more deaths on Long Island than there are in the state of Florida, which has more people, a couple million more people. There are probably more deaths in two nursing homes in the state of New York than there are in the state of Florida, at least in nursing homes in Florida. And why is that? Because the governor took the exact opposite tack. Governor of Florida was not arrested. The governor of Florida did not receive a sternly worded letter from the Centers for Disease Control saying, whoa, wait a second. We said you had to put six seniors back into nursing homes. Why aren't you following the orders lockstep like the governor of New York? We shall fine your state immensely for this indiscretion. Because it didn't happen. In fact, most of what was predicted to happen in Florida did not happen, didn't even come close to happening. That is a fact that the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, who has been roundly attacked for the past month and a half, 2 months, by Democrats in the media for risking people's, how many people have to die so that Ron DeSantis can play happily along as Trump's puppy dog? My God, he's only opening the state because he's got pressure. He wants to please his master, Trump. Remember when they're not closing the state of Florida because Ron DeSantis wants to look cool and tough to President Trump. He wanted, President Trump doesn't want him to close it, therefore he's not going to close it and everything else be damned. He's just trying to suck up to Trump. Well, Ron DeSantis reminded the press of their, can we call it reporting? Their reporting along those natures. He went off and ripped him a new one. The vice president was down in Florida yesterday visiting there, and they went and had a hamburger. It was weird to see, you know, people sitting at a table inside a restaurant, and none of them were wearing masks. It's kind of nice going, hey, wait a second, maybe we can get a little bit of a return to normalcy here. But before they went and had their burgers, the governor of Florida went up and stuck some asses of some reporters, and I realized that for many reporters, that's their whole body, but that's not what I'm talking about. They are just asses. The governor of Florida went out, took some questions, and just ripped him a new one. Here is that glorious, glorious audio.
Our data is available. Our data is transparent. In fact, Dr. Birx has talked multiple times about how Florida has the absolute best data. So any insinuation otherwise is just typical partisan narrative trying to be spun. And part of the reason is that because you got a lot of people in your profession who waxed poetically for weeks and weeks about how Florida was going to be just like New York. Wait 2 weeks, Florida's going to be next. Just like Italy, wait 2 weeks. Well, hell, we're 8 weeks away from that, and it hasn't happened. Not only do we have a lower death rate, well, we have way lower deaths generally, we have a lower death rate than the Acela Corridor, D.C., everyone up there. We have a lower death rate than the Midwest, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. But even in our region, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida has the lower death rate. And I was the number one landing spot from tens of thousands of people leaving the number one hot zone in the world to come to my state. So we've succeeded, and I think that people just don't want to recognize it because it challenges their narrative, it challenges their assumption, so they got to try to find a boogeyman. Maybe it's that there are black helicopters circling the Department of Health. If you believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you.
Last question.
A well-deserved victory lap slash bitch slap of the media about what they said about. They said horrible things about Florida. They said horrible things about Georgia, which is also doing phenomenally well. They're all going to kill people. Why? They're killing people. The governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, was attacked relentlessly on MSNBC. They dragged the mayor of Atlanta out. Oh, you're willing to, Democrat mayor of Atlanta, you're willing to badmouth the Republican governor of Georgia? Come on, get on MSNBC. Let's just keep you here all day. Every hour, a host will come on and ask you to bitch about him, and then we just move on. Even the Democratic mayor of Atlanta had to say the other day that things, well, as much as a compliment as you can give to a Republican, things aren't going as badly as I thought they would, which is high praise from a leftist because you run risk of being kicked out of the club. These people are insane and these people are evil. And when they are exposed as wrong, which there's a difference between being wrong and being exposed as wrong. They're wrong all the time. They're not very often exposed as wrong. When they are exposed as wrong, they then retreat-ish, sort of. They always have a default. It's, again, it's very easy to sort of walk away from previous statements, if you will, when you know that the questioners are rooting for you, when they're pulling for you, when they're on your team, you know, like, all right, what about all those dead senior citizens there, Governor? Well, Trump's fault. oh, okay, well, Trump's fault then. We'll move along. Or, yeah, I guess there aren't piles of dead people that I was hoping for, or I mean, assuming what happened down here in Georgia, so it's not as bad as I thought it would be. God, these Democrats just, there's a word, gross. They're just gross. Another bit of grossness. This was the press secretary. She's responding. You know, ever since President Trump announced that he is taking hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic, everybody has been going absolutely nuts about it. Oh, my God. In the media, they're beside themselves. And it's not just the typical people. It's not just the CNNs of the world or the broads on The View. It's also Neil Cavuto. He's very, very upset. Apparently 2 days in a row now he has whined about the president. You're setting a horrible, people are going to die, Mr. President. What are you doing? This horrible idea. People who sort of live to lecture other people on how they're being wrong, they're being bad, they're what you should do. They used to just call them assholes. Now they found a more family-friendly word for it. It's Karens. You know, like the name Karen, except Karens, all of them. Because, you know, personally, I've always had more problems with people named Mitch. That's just me. I don't know Mitch McConnell. Met him a couple times. Didn't have a problem with him. But the people I've known in my life named Mitch, kind of douchey. Maybe there's a Mitch out there I know that I can't think of one. But in general, Mitches are like male Karens, who still pee sitting down. But the Karens of the world. Kayleigh McEnany is the White House press secretary, and she got sick of all the Karens clutching their pearls, engaging their fainting couches, and condemning the president of the United States. We're setting a horrible example, Mr. President. Why don't you just... Well, there's a possibility he was exposed to coronavirus. And there's a possibility that taking hydroxychloroquine will help prevent full-blown coronavirus infection. For reasons I explained yesterday, there are receptors on cells through which, think of them as portals or gateways or whatever, doorways into cells that viruses travel. Hydroxychloroquine can cut those off, and therefore the virus can't enter the cell. Inside the cell is the only place a virus can reproduce, and it goes in there, it reproduces a whole bunch of times. The cell gets killed, explodes, and outbursts a whole bunch of baby viruses, lather, rinse, repeat, until the body's immune system is able to get ahead of it and kill the virus. Now, people's immune systems with COVID-19, the elderly, people with suppressed immune systems or whatever, their immune system isn't able to get in front of it, and they end up dying from the effects, the side effects of the infections and what have you that come from having a ravaging infection of COVID-19 in your body. But if you can stop that from happening early enough, before the virus has a chance to reproduce and make a whole bunch of other viruses and overwhelm your system, causing you to get sick, you can stop the process in its tracks at the beginning. That is the thought process behind why hydroxychloroquine could work. So the president is taking it as a prophylactic. From the beginning, they've always said, if you take, the earlier you take it, the better it is. The president is, you know, somebody who says, I want this, I like this, I hope this works, and I'm willing to do it. And he's doing it. Well, the Karens of the world are outraged. And the press secretary of the White House, presidential press secretary, has had enough of these Karens. And she went out there and went after them yesterday, because there's a bunch of Karens in the press corps, too. Ripped them all new ones. The seats in the White House press briefing room, if Kayleigh McEnany keeps going this way, they can remove the chairs from the White House press briefing room, because there isn't going to be anybody able to sit down. Their asses will be so sore from the beatings that they take that they simply will have no use for a chair. Here's the latest one.
hydroxychloroquine, because I think it's very important that we're as accurate as we can be with our reporting on this. Hydroxychloroquine has been a drug that has been in use for 65 years for lupus, arthritis, and malaria. It has a very good safety profile, but as with any drug and as with any prescription, it should be given by a doctor to a patient in that context. So no one should be taking this without a prescription from their doctor. But that being said, I've seen a lot of apoplectic coverage of hydroxychloroquine. You had Jimmy Kimmel saying the president's, quote, trying to kill himself by taking it. You had Joe Scarborough saying, quote, this will kill you. Neil Cavuto saying, what have you got to lose? One thing you have to lose are lives. And you had Chris Cuomo saying, the president knows that hydroxychloroquine is not supported by science. He knows it has been flagged by his own people, and he's using it. Well, Cuomo mocked the president for this. And interestingly, I found this out just before coming here. Hydroxychloroquine, of course, is an FDA-approved medication with a long proven track record for safety. And it turns out that Chris Cuomo took a less safe version of it called quinine, which the FDA removed from the market in 2006 because of its serious side effects, including death. So really interesting to have that criticism of the president. And on that note to Chris Cuomo, I'd like to redirect him to his brother, the governor of New York, Governor Cuomo, who has several on-the-record statements about hydroxychloroquine, saying, I'm an optimist, I'm hopeful about the drug, and that's why we'll try it here in New York as soon as we get it. There has been anecdotal evidence that it's promising, that's why we're going ahead. And I have about eight other quotes from Governor Cuomo, should any of you have interest in that.
And then in the narrator voice, no reporters had any interest in that, as Andy Dufresne continued to dig his way out of Shawshank Prison. Yeah, she read him the Riot Act. She ripped him a new one because they deserved to have the Riot Act read to them. They deserved to have a new one ripped in their rectum. There has been so much disinformation about hydroxychloroquine. You would think, you would swear that these people wanted people to die. I think if you took a secret poll of the inner monologues of the reporters out there, they would all say, well, I'd rather have people die than this drug work, because if this drug works, it's going to make President Trump look good. And we need to get rid of him. We need to get rid of him. Because the media holds you in absolute, total, 100% contempt. If you're not one of them, you should be ruled by them. And if you aren't one of them and you don't want to be ruled by them, which sadly there are a lot of Americans who are perfectly fine with being ruled by these boobs, then they will absolutely, positively work to destroy you. I do love the Chris Cuomo bit, because Chris Cuomo's wife runs a, they call it an online magazine. An online magazine is what rich people call blogs. It's just that they have a couple of people who work for them, and they get to call it an online mag. A magazine is a magazine. You know what a magazine is. Online is a blog, especially if it's like your vanity project to pass the time, because you've got nothing better to do. In her online magazine, Chris Cuomo's wife detailed the regimen that they went through. See, because Chris Cuomo had coronavirus, and then he gave it to his wife and his son because he's a bad father. When he was, you know, remember, I quarantined in the basement for 14 days. I just hid down there. I didn't see sunlight at all, except for, you know, the time on Easter Sunday when he drove up to the Hamptons to check out the house he's building. And it turns out he brought his wife and kids with him. So somebody who is actually sick with coronavirus in an enclosed car for the 30 to 40 minutes or whatever it takes to drive up to their new place in the Hamptons. And that I'm just speculating, that could, might, maybe be how his wife and son came down with it. Just guessing. Anyway, she detailed what they were doing to fight corona. She's a hippie. She's like one of these loony lefties who will eat roots and berries and all sorts of things. And if she thinks that, you know, suntanning her sphincter will make the world a better place. She'll be out there spread eagle in the backyard. She's that kind of person. She probably wears a lot of sundresses and talks about Gaia and how wonderful Mother Earth is and shit like that. Well, one of the things that she did, ironically, is she would take baths with Clorox. Now, not a bathtub filled with Clorox. She would mix Clorox bleach in with the bath water, which sounds crazy. It'll make you stink. For certain things, like certain skin conditions, it's actually prescribed by doctors to do that, but it's not very common. But that came out right when they were talking, when the president was being ridiculed by the media for saying, well, he says people should drink Clorox, which he didn't say. And then she posted her little blog post and said that she was using bleach too, but differently. It's totally different when a Democrat does it, you see. Another thing that she was listing was some root that Kayleigh McEnany referenced there, one of these hippy-dippy things, that hydroxychloroquine, that chloroquine is actually a synthetic version of, a more pure version, a more controlled version. If something grows in the wild and it's a root, it's very expensive to get. It's not going to be growing in the wilds of Connecticut, most likely. And it's inconsistent, the active ingredient, whatever that happens to be, from one to another, depending on the amount of sunlight, the quality of the soil, so on and so forth. Whereas the synthetic versions of these things, the medicine version of it, can actually be quite controlled. There are this many milligrams of this medicine in this pill and in every pill just like it, for example. Well, Chris Cuomo, while lambasting President Trump for taking hydroxychloroquine, was taking the natural root version that the FDA pulled from the market of it because he's a hypocrite. He didn't admit that. His wife did, and people did the research and said, hey, wait a second. Now, Chris Cuomo will never go on air admitting this. Chris Cuomo won't go on air admitting that he broke quarantine. He still insists that he didn't break quarantine. He said, well, I isolated for 14 days. He was diagnosed on the 31st of March and on the 12th of April, for those of you playing the home game, that's not 14 days, was when he had the confrontation on Easter Sunday. And I don't buy for a second that that was the first time he left the house. Even still, he lied to his audience when he showed the video of him coming up the stairs saying, for the first time, I'm emerging from the basement. Except for the other day when we all emerged from the basement and piled into the family truckster and I probably got a bunch of people sick. These people are sick. These are Karens. These are Karens. But even Karens have a queen. And that queen is Mika Brzezinski. Yes, daughter of Zbigniew Brzezinski, wife of Joe Scarborough, third wife of Joe Scarborough. He's only her second husband. And never mind the, you know how in the UK when you're getting on the tube, they say, mind the gap, the little gap between the subway cars and the platform, because you can slip your foot in there. Well, there's a gap. Never mind the lap, the overlap between her relationship with Joe and her marriage. Don't mind that Venn diagram crossover, nor with his second marriage and his relationship with Mika. I remember I saw them together sitting super cozy at the Democratic convention in 2012, I want to say. It's 2012 or 2016. It was definitely while they were still happily married to other people. And I thought, they are really good friends. They were sitting by themselves in a section of an empty, this was during the daytime. I mean, you can go to the convention hall during the daytime if you're press or if you're whatever. I forget how I got the credential. I was either press at the time or I was, I had to have been press. Yeah, because I was like convention, whatever the hell I was with ATR at the 2008 convention. So I was press at the time. And I remember seeing them sitting there, kind of, you know, like you would if you wanted a whole section to yourself in the middle. And they looked semi-refractory. I don't know. Anyway, Mika Brzezinski is very upset. She wants President Trump kicked off of Twitter. The ultimate Karen move. I must get my way or there will be hell to pay. She's even allegedly, and we'll find out in the morning, she was going to call Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter. She was tweeting at him, saying, Jack, I hope you take my call later because I got a bitch about somebody going after my man. Now, this plastic fraud, and I'm not saying she's all plastic. I'm just saying she's skin coated in plastic, liposuction, injections, and things like that. She wants Trump removed from Twitter after, what, 3-4 years of calling him Hitler, letting other people call him Hitler, letting other people call him anything else in the world. He's killing people. He's a monster. He's an idiot. He's corrupt. He's this. He's a Russian stooge. He's all of that. All of this stuff has been wildly proven false, flat out lie, not even false, lies. They've been exposed as lies. And now she's upset that President Trump has tweeted on a couple of occasions about a former intern in Joe Scarborough's office that was murdered. It's an intern. There were rumors floating around that Joe Scarborough was sleeping with this intern. I don't know if it's true. I do know that on Don Imus's radio show back when he first signed with MSNBC, Joe and Don kind of laughed about the prospect of banging interns and then murdering them. So it was an allusion to that. I also know that I have heard a lot of rumor. I don't know if Joe Scarborough is a guy who sort of sleeps around, you know, if he were doing oil change, that he puts his dipstick into many different engines, whether or not they're his wife doesn't seem to matter to him. These are just reports and rumors. I don't want to perpetuate these rumors, but these stories are out there. They're widely known, and he has been married 3 times. When there is like that overlap Venn diagram gap between when wife number whatever and wife number whatever, suddenly one was going out, two ships in the night, if you will. They pass over. If you're watching them in the horizon, see, there are two ships and they're passing. And then when they're literally passing, there's an overlap, right? They overlap each other. I'm just saying that I've heard that there's a lot of overlap with Joe. That's all. It's just like two ships passing in the night. Well, the reminder of the intern situation, we'll just call it, with Joe Scarborough. Because a lot of people are saying that's why he left Congress. I don't know if that's true. Again, just letting you know what's out there. I do not endorse these rumors. That would be wrong of me to endorse these rumors. But they are rumors, and I have to be honest with you to let you know that they're out there. But there are the rumors that Joe was checking the oil in this intern, and something awful happened to the intern. Whether they're connected or not depends on whether or not you think sleeping with Joe Scarborough is awful. But not that he did. I don't know that he did. I'm just saying this is the story. And that's what President Trump had alluded to in a tweet. Well, this got very upset. This got Joe's current wife very, very upset. She is not happy. There's a reason they do their show together from the basement of their house. She doesn't want Joe out. I'm assuming she doesn't want Joe out of her sight. And she went off on a rant about how awful the president is. Now, this is kind of funny because you're sitting there and you're going, but that's what this dumbass does every morning. She goes, yes, it is. But this one was more personal. It's just as vitriolic, but it's more personal. All of her rants against the president are vitriolic. This one takes it to a new level where she says she's going to be calling Jack at Twitter. She has actively now made it her mission in life not to improve the lives of any human beings, but to get the president of the United States banned from a social media platform because she's the ultimate Queen Karen. She is rich. She's born into privilege, which the left seems to think of as a problem. And she's acting like a spoiled little rich brat who's been a spoiled little rich brat her whole life, mostly because she's been a spoiled little rich brat her whole life. Imagine being an adult and thinking this rant makes you look good. Here's Mika Brzezinski demanding the president of the United States be banned from Twitter.
And your lack of ability to handle this massive human catastrophe, the fact that you've made it worse and that you make it worse every day, and that you won't even wear a mask to protect people from your germs. But the germs you're spreading on Twitter, first of all, Twitter, you shouldn't be allowing this, and you should be taking these tweets down, and you should be ashamed of yourself. You'll be hearing from me on this, because this is BS. But Donald, you're a sick person. You're really a cruel, sick, disgusting person.
Hey, man, the president didn't make your husband bang and murder that intern. Not that he did. I don't know that he did. I'm just saying there, he didn't do it if Joe did it. Just throwing it out there. God, could you imagine having to look? I don't know that Joe banged and murdered this intern, but if he did murder an intern or anybody for that matter, time served, right? He's got to live with that for now. I mean, this is his third marriage. Third divorce isn't going to be that big of a deal. It'll just make work awkward. But time served. He shouldn't have to do any more time for that. Just let him go. Actually, put him under house arrest. That would probably fall under cruel and unusual punishment. But still, they deserve each other. The best thing about these two being married is they're no longer inflicting themselves on others. Well, given their track record, that's not necessarily true. I don't know. They deserve each other in any event. Can you imagine? She sounds like the naggy, bitchy mother in the neighborhood. Twitter, you should not be allowing this. And you're like the mom who calls other moms to tell them how they should be raising their kids. You know what Billy said today? You should not be allowing him to say, you should not be saying these things around him. You should really be a better parent. Okay, go back, suck down a Pall Mall and a Pabst, and sit in your lawn chair with your little reflector to make sure you get your under chin nice and tan, and mind your own business, you piece of trash. That's Mika Brzezinski, except that she's from privilege, as the left likes to say. I'm going to call you later, Jack Dorsey, and you better take my call, and I'll tell you what you should be. Do you know who I am? Yeah, you're the glassy-eyed, like semi-stoned, overly medicated broad who barely wakes up on Morning Joe there. The one with the implants and the nose job, right? That's the one? Or the one that looks like just this side of an albino? Is that you? Yeah, that's her, Jack. She wants to bitch at you, so go ahead. Oh, God. Joe has to wake up for next to that. If he could get away with one murder in his life, I bet he's regretting having wasted it on that intern. Not that he did, I'm just saying. If he did. Not that he would, but still. Finally today, the Secretary of State. It was a day of people just getting pummeled. And people pummeling each other, and Republicans pummeling liberals. The Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, is allegedly, he was under investigation by the Inspector General because he had staff walk his dog and help with the dishes because he was busy, you know, being Secretary of State. And one of the other alleged complaints against him is that he was having dinners at his house at taxpayer expense. But of course, at these dinners were some journalists and diplomats from other countries and members of Congress and people, you know, relevant to his job, which, if you've ever itemized your taxes, is exactly what you're supposed to. If you ever had an expense account, that's what it's for. You think anybody wants to have dinner with the ambassador from Belarus just because they're pals? No, it's part of the job, and that's a perfectly legitimate expense. So Democrats are trying to push this. Pompeo is trying to rip off the government sort of thing because, what, he bought a couple of steaks, you piece of garbage. And this push is being spearheaded by Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey. If that name sounds familiar, it's because he was charged with bribery a couple of years back. And the Senate voted to condemn him because they believed that he did it. The jury did not acquit him. It was a hung jury, and the prosecutor in New Jersey, where he is, Senator Menendez, is very well connected, decided not to pursue the charges a second time, basically letting their pal go. It was corrupt. I believe one of the jury members who voted to acquit was a big Bob Menendez backer. It's just New Jersey. It's freaking corrupt. Well, Senator Pompeo took the opportunity yesterday to remind everybody in the press briefing room at the State Department that he doesn't need to be lectured by a corrupt New Jersey senator about ethics. It's kind of funny. Here it is.
Here's the last thing to think about as you see these stories that have been leaked to you all, right, to the press. This is all coming through the office of Senator Menendez. I don't get my ethics guidance from a man who was criminally prosecuted, case number 15-155, New Jersey Federal District Court. A man for whom his Senate colleagues bipartisan said basically that he was taking bribes. That's not someone who I look to for ethics guidance. And so I'll continue to do the right thing, make sure the State Department is served by every employee, including our attorney inspector general. And we'll make sure the State Department continues to deliver on behalf of the American people.
That harpy you hear screeching at the end is Andrea Mitchell of NBC News. She showed up to work yesterday because she's trash. She wants to... God, all of these people just absolutely disgust me. I love seeing this pushback, this punchback. Republicans, for far too long, I've been saying it forever, have been taking punches to the face and apologizing if they hurt the hand of the person who hit them. And they don't seem to be doing that anymore. And that is a glorious, glorious thing. Another glorious thing is that tomorrow is Friday. We have lined up, knock on wood, I'm not going to say who it is, but it should be a good interview. I'm looking forward to conducting it later today, hopefully, and posting it on Friday for you all. If you want to help out the program, it's patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. Email is Derek@dailycaller.com. Thanks for spreading the word, sharing it on social media. We're growing only because of you, so thank you. And I'll see you tomorrow.
But you won't even wear a mask to protect people from your germs.